His main argument, though he's presented two or three, is that Paul said it was a custom. And he said that over and over and over again. Yet I think he's basically ignoring my response to that. Paul actually says, if you look at it carefully, if you read it carefully, Paul actually says the exact opposite of that. Paul said, we, now would we include Paul? Yes. We have no such custom. Now, if I understand English at all, that means Paul didn't have that custom. I'll change my illustration. Keith is follically challenged, but I have no such problem. Who has the problem? Keith keeps understanding verse 16 as if I say that, I have the problem. I'm follically challenged. But that's not what that means. Keith is follically challenged, but I have no such problem. He's the one that has the problem. He's follically challenged. Saying that in jest, of course, about this. We're not making fun of him. But we can understand English when we put it in simple terms. Paul specifically says, and there's no way around this, because Paul plainly says it this way. He says it plainly, the exact opposite of what Keith's saying. He says, if Paul anticipated what Keith was going to say, and he's saying, Keith is 100% wrong, the very opposite of what Keith is saying is true. We have no such custom. I have no such problem. That means I'm not bald. I don't have the problem. He does. We have no such custom. That means the contentious man is the one that has the custom or practice. Paul didn't. And neither did all the churches of God. Paul's saying, we all agree on this idea that I've been advocating in verses 2 through 15. The covering is required and long hair is required. We all agree. All the apostles in the churches. The contentious man's custom or practice, we all disagree with that. There's no way around it. He said that he did not have that custom. For Keith to turn that around and say the very opposite of that, and say that Paul did have a custom, is saying exactly the opposite of what Paul said clearly. And it's not ambiguous. It's not hard to understand. It's like pretty much like 2 plus 2 equals 4. He said he didn't have the custom. And Keith says that Paul did have the custom. And he's not only saying he had a custom, he's saying that Paul said he had a custom when Paul said he didn't have the custom. The exact opposite of what Keith is saying. And then Keith said, but women preachers is not symbolic. But it is an application of headship, just like the covering. It's an application of headship. Remember I made the point? Headship doesn't necessarily imply no women preachers. Because we all understand that elders have authority over the men. That doesn't mean that the men can't preach over or teach over the elders. Headship doesn't demand the woman can't preach over the woman. God demands it because it's an application He made for headship. He didn't have to. He made the application, and He also made the application of the covering based upon the exact same arguments in 1 Corinthians 11 as He did in 1 Timothy 2 for the no women preachers. And then Keith said the covering is not binding since it wasn't true since the beginning of time. Now, it seems to me I'm arguing against the Seventh-day Adventists tonight. He thinks something has to be taught in both Testaments for it to be true. But actually, the real point is if something is taught in the New Testament, not in the Old, that proves it wasn't just a custom or regulating a practice that was already in existence. The fact that this teaching is new, not the same in the old, adds to my argument. Keith, according to his reasoning, would have to throw out baptism and the Lord's Supper because they hadn't been taught since the beginning of time. And if he'd been living in the Old Testament, knowing what was coming in the future from Jeremiah 31, he would have to say, I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Because it's not true all the way throughout time. In the New Testament, it'll be the first day of the week. So I don't have to keep it. He knows better than that. He knows the Old and the New Testaments are different, but he's arguing as if they're the same. Something is not binding in the New because it wasn't true since the beginning of time. That's the very opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches many things in the New Testament that aren't in the Old. And the very fact that it wasn't taught in the Old contradicts Keith's argument that it was the custom of that time. He is, in effect, saying it wasn't the custom of that time. The Jewish women did not have to do that. That's my point. He says contentiousness is not a custom, is it a sin? Many customs are sins. I could probably think of 1,000 examples. I've already given you a good one. The practice of men, not Christians. But we know the practice of non-Christian men on the night before their wedding. A custom, and it's a sin. No, it's not law. Definitely not a law that they have to do that. But then he admitted that this word custom can be used interchangeably with practice. Of course, many of the translations and the dictionaries give that definition. Practice is a good definition for this word. All Paul is saying is that we have no such custom or practice as the custom, the practice that the contentious man is contending for. All of the argument about what custom means doesn't matter because Paul didn't have it. He said he did not have that. Whatever it means, Paul didn't have it. Somebody else did. He said we have no such custom. And then Keith asserted again, we only have two symbolic acts. So when you leave here tonight, realize that this is Keith's best argument for his position. His assertion that there's only two symbolic acts. Did he give you a verse that said anything like there's only two symbolic acts or things in the New Testament? Any verse to prove that? No, as far as we know, there may be 99. He didn't give any verse. He just said there's two. And so since the covering has to be the third one and there's only two, that must rule it out. Did he give you a verse saying there's only two? No. I gave you another in the symbol of the rainbow. Okay, we'll throw it out. He didn't like that one. But I gave another one from the Bible that he can't throw out. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. The covering is a symbol of authority. The Bible says that it is, so I can count three. I can count three. According to his reasoning, the covering could have never applied even at that time to anywhere because there's only two symbolic acts. And the covering was definitely a symbol. But he believes the covering was applied back then to certain, you know, under certain circumstances. So under those certain circumstances, and sometimes even today in Nigeria, there are three symbolic acts. So I guess that mysterious verse that says there's only two symbolic acts is really just wrong. That verse is wrong according to Keith because under some situations there is three. The Bible says there's at least three. I believe it. The Bible says that is a symbol. I believe that. Nobody telling me there's only two symbolic acts is going to take 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10 and cut it out of my Bible. And then he brought up Paul Williams, put up number 26. Oh, did I do number 5? Here's number 5, which I didn't do. I wanted to. Let's look at this. He said, you know, about this covering is not a symbol. No, it's an application. But remember what I want to emphasize. The covering is taught because of the order of creation. No women preachers is taught because of the order of creation. Again, since the argument is the same for both practices, then either zero of them are applicable today or both. You can't split the middle. You can't have one without the other. That's just being arbitrary. Consistency would demand that my opponent accept women preachers. Now, put up number 26. Here's 26. He has a quote from Paul Williams, who I also have a lot of respect for and correspond with every now and then. Mr. Williams says something about it. And Keith, this was in response to me saying nobody believes that it was a custom. All right. Now notice, this is not contradicting what I said. Now, Paul Williams and many preachers in our day say it was just a custom. That's not what I'm saying. There are probably many preachers in this audience that agree with Keith and say it was just a custom. I'm not talking about that. Nobody believes it was a custom back then for women to wear the covering when they prayed or prophesied. Some will say in public, perhaps Paul is talking about that, or in the public worship assemblies. But that's not what Paul is teaching. He says when they pray or prophesy, and women pray in the privacy of their own home, and they ought to be covered even when before they go to bed and nobody else is in the room. Nobody, I bet. Keith, do you believe back then it was a custom for the women then, when they went in the privacy of their home and they prayed all by themselves, that they wore covered? I don't think that he does. I've never heard of anybody believing that. I think if anybody were to say that, I'm saying this in jest, they would be laughed out of the house. Nobody believes that's the custom, but that's what Paul's contending for. It's totally different than the Old Testament teaching according to Keith, and it's totally different from what anybody says was the custom. How much time? Okay. Keith again brought up the holy kiss and foot washing for about the third time, but he has yet to respond to what I said the first time in response to it. Not yet has he responded to that. On the holy kiss, did we look at Galatians 2:9? It showed they also used the handshake in Acts 20, verse 1, and the hug. Can we not see that no single form of greeting was bound even then? He had the options and the foot washing. My wife had a great aunt, and her sister's here, Joy, had a great aunt that was bedridden for 5 or 6 years in their mother-in-law's house. Joy and Carol washed Dot Dot's feet, and others did too, countless times, because her feet needed washing, and they showed humility, the same thing that Jesus was teaching then. When somebody's feet need washing, like they needed back then, everybody here, I think, would agree it's still applicable. But if somebody drives up to your house in a car and their feet are not dirty, instead of walking on dirt roads like they did back then in sandals, it's not a ceremony like the Pentecostals teach. You don't just take their shoes off when their feet aren't dirty and just wash them as a ceremony in the church service or anywhere else. Now, I want Keith to respond to this. Keith, suppose you were arguing with these folks at Freed Hardeman College, Lynn Mitchell, for example, and he says, Keith, you say women aren't to be preachers. And but what about the holy kiss and feet washing? Was it that's cultural? How are you going to respond to that, Keith? You can't. The arguments here are using you cannot respond to it if Lynn Mitchell asks you about the holy kiss and the feet washing. Thank you very much.